This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Samantha Watson. Over $3 million in housing assistance has been committed to reimbursing the state for supporting people who evacuated their homes after Typhoon Halong. The Federal Emergency Management Agency, also known as FEMA, announced its approval of the funds last week. The money falls under the agency's Public Assistance Program, which is different from its Individual Assistance Program. That program can support households affected by the typhoon with personal damages to property. Those impacted can still file for financial assistance by the extended deadline of February 20th. The public program is separate, and its emergency housing funds will reimburse the state for providing non-congregate sheltering for displaced households in the form of hotel rooms. A portion of the $3 million will also reimburse costs related to congregate or group shelters operating in the weeks after the storm. A spokesperson from FEMA says the money will go towards covering facility costs associated with the Alaska Airlines Center and Egan Center. Local government and tribal councils can still file for FEMA's public assistance, which goes towards debris removal, rebuilding infrastructure, and preventative emergency measures. For more information on how to file for public or individual assistance, call FEMA's dedicated Alaska Center at 1-866-342-1699. That's 1-866-342-1699. Governor Mike Dunleavy is dropping a longtime priority ahead of next year's legislative session. At his annual holiday open house last week, Dunleavy told reporters he isn't planning to revive his push to reform the state's schools.
You know, I've always said this for year after year after year, that once the issue of money is settled, nobody wants to talk about policy. So unfortunately for us, I think we're going to skip over that this year, not from my perspective, but I don't think the legislature, enough of the people in the legislature, really have a desire to fix the outcomes.
Improving the state's public schools was the top issue in the last two legislative sessions. Dunleavy voted a series of bills seeking to boost public school funding, saying they didn't do enough to improve student performance. He instead called for a variety of reforms that he said would help Alaska's low test scores, in part by boosting charter schools and correspondents homeschool. But lawmakers overcame Dunleavy's vetoes to break the stalemate earlier this year. Sitka Independent Representative Rebecca Himschut co-chairs the State House Education Committee. She says lawmakers will continue to look at ways to boost students' test scores, even with budgets expected to be tight this year.
We need to ensure the best value for the dollar. Obviously, accountability is very important. At the same time, we need to make sure that our kids have opportunities. And if we look to other states, there's a lot going on in other states that we could be doing here in Alaska.
She says she'd also like to see a smaller boost to public school funding this year to keep up with inflation. Representative Andy Story, a Juneau Democrat who also co-chairs the House Education Committee, says she wants lawmakers to override Dunleavy's veto of a corporate tax bill tied to education funding.
Those dollars are scheduled to go for reading intervention and career tech. And that would just, to me, be a game changer.
Backers pitched the tax bill as a way to extract more state money from outside tech companies who sell to Alaskans. Dunleavy said he couldn't support it without a larger fiscal plan. Dunleavy said he hopes lawmakers will pass a bill that will create a pilot program of schools run by Alaska Native tribes. But Dunleavy told reporters his main goal for his final year are largely in other areas, including a forthcoming fiscal plan and preparation for a possible North Slope gas pipeline. Lawmakers reconvene in Juneau on January 20th. With U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan running for re-election next year, how he navigates the big controversies of President Trump's second term could determine his political future. Sullivan made a rare leftward track Thursday, voting with Democrats on a failed bill to extend health care subsidies. Faced with a different hot controversy earlier that day, Sullivan opted for a political sidestep, Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin explains.
The subject of the Armed Services hearing was one of the biggest disputes of President Trump's second term, his deployment of the National Guard within the United States. Democrats railed against the dispatch of the military to American cities. Some Republicans on the committee vigorously defended the urban deployments. Sullivan did neither. When it was his turn to speak, he vigorously defended Guard deployments that no one is arguing about. He spoke about the National Guard's role repelling Russian and Chinese forces over the Pacific and the Bering Sea.
Because these are frontline operations going directly against our adversaries, wing to wing, when our fighters go intercept Russian bear bombers and MiGs that are armed. Dangerous work. We do it all the time up in Alaska.
Sullivan's campaign materials feature Trump's photo and endorsement prominently. Sullivan rarely criticizes him. Trump won a majority of Alaskan votes each time he was on the general election ballot. Still, even in a red state, a Republican candidate could face peril by sticking too close to Trump if some of his actions become toxic to voters. Sullivan last week left the constitutional debate to other senators. He brought up the National Guard's actions in western Alaska this fall when it rescued people after fierce storms washed their houses away. And Sullivan said when he was in the Marines in the 1990s, some in his battalion were sent to the southern border and some went to fight forest fires in the Pacific Northwest.
We were motivated Marines. The President of the United States told us to go different places and we went. That's what you do in the military.
Sullivan did not engage as Democrats, and independent Senator Angus King of Maine spoke passionately against the Guard deployments to Chicago and other cities where governors don't want them.
The idea that we are saying that the president has the power to, in his own mind, decide what an emergency is and then deploy troops into our cities, I think is exceedingly dangerous. And the people who founded this country thought so, too.
King read the words of several founding fathers who warned of tyranny if a president has a standing army to use against his own people. A Trump administration witness countered that George Washington himself sent soldiers to put down a citizens' rebellion in Pennsylvania. Senator Tim Sheehy of Montana was one of the Republicans who gave a full-throated defense of the urban deployments in support of the Trump administration's massive deportation campaign. Sheehy addressed his questions to the top general responsible for the defense of North America.
As a military commander, what do you feel is a greater threat to our national security? 500 volunteers, trained National Guardsmen, walking the streets of our cities, or 20 million illegal immigrants who've entered this country over the past 5 years?
The general did answer, but it hardly mattered. Sheehy, a freshman senator, was planting a rhetorical stake in the ground. Reporting from the U.S. Capitol, I'm Liz Ruskin.
This is KYUK News. I'm Samantha Watson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yuktun Gnomchit coming up.